Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and look, let's read verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, if you would please take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I don't think I'll make you turn any more this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, or some famous people say 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want us to read verse 6 through 8. Verses 6 through 8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Dear Lord, bless your word this morning. Thank you for it. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you, God, for the blessings that we sung about. And God, if we just take the time and think about how good you've been to us, we have many things to be thankful for. And God, today I'd like to praise your name today and lift your name up and give you honor and glory for all the things you've done. Thank you so much, most of all, for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his dying for our sins. Salvation. Thank you for loving us when we were unlovable. Thank you for caring about us when, God, we didn't care about you. Thank you for the grace of God. Just have your way in this service. We ask it in the name of Jesus and for his sake. And amen. In these two portions of Scripture, Paul brings up the law of sowing and reaping. In this life we live right now is a time of sowing. Not only do we reap in this world, we also reap in the world to come. We reap for all eternity. And as I was over here working yesterday, I was thinking of all those who have helped this church and the families in this church since the flood. If you didn't, I hooked up the last AC vent under the building yesterday. So all the ductwork's complete. All we have to have now is the covers over the units out there, and that'll be done. And then, of course, Steve and I are going to try to get the gas. Maybe I'll have Austin come up and help us get the gas lines plumbed in so we can have some heat. But we've done a lot. We've made a lot of progress there. And I was thinking about the people that's helped us get to where we are today. And I thought about those who did not know us, but yet they came to our aid. And I thought about those we didn't know, and yet they helped us out. People have come from Pennsylvania and Ohio and South Carolina and Indiana and other places. I'm not sure, just different places all around us here to help us. And they gave to our church and gave to us as individuals, and they gave of their time, they gave of their money, and they gave of their talents to be a blessing to this church. And oftentimes, I think about this, oftentimes, and tomorrow will be the same situation, there'll be men here who make $20 to $30 an hour or more giving of their time and their talents to help us here. They've given us entire days to help us. And churches and individuals have given not only their time and their talents, they've given us thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars. Friends have helped us in our most difficult days, have they not? And I think we need to learn from this. I think God is trying to teach us. What God has laid down in Scripture, what I've read to you, what God has laid down in Scripture, He, through these giving people, is teaching this church. I've said this several times, I'll say it again, this experience has changed my life. This experience has changed my outlook on things. What happened during this flood and what happened to this church and what happened to the families in this church has changed my desires. I want to become one of those people who give. I have a buddy, he used to say there's two kinds of people, givers and takers. Well, I don't want to be a taker, I want to be a giver. Let me just say this. I will say this, don't get mad at me. There's not a person here in this church, nor this church as a whole, deserved anything. Okay? So if somebody gave you something, or if somebody came here and worked, or somebody gave us money, we didn't have that coming. So don't ever feel like, you know, sometimes I notice people, they're like, people give them things and they're like, oh yeah, well I deserve that. No, you didn't. You didn't deserve a thing. These people have done this out of the goodness of their heart. And so we should ever be thankful. We should ever be thankful. They didn't have to do that. Everybody that's given of their time, given of their talents, given of their money, they didn't have to do that. Nobody called them up and said, you know, you better go do that or I'm going to get you. No, nobody threatened them. Nobody. They didn't have to do it, did they? They didn't have to do it. I want us to look at verse 6. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I want to say, number one, some give sparingly. Some give sparingly. There are those who could do much more, but they give the bare minimum or the least that they can get by with. And I don't know why people are like this. Sometimes I think it's just a character trait. Some people are misers. Some people, They want to hold on to what they've got. They tell themselves, I might need that later. I'd like to give you $50 or $5 or whatever, but I might need that later. And that's what they tell themselves. And they don't really believe that God, I'm talking about Christian folks now, they don't really believe that God can supply their needs. And they don't really trust that God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on them, so they just grasp to what they have. They grasp to what they have. They rationalize their stinginess. They give sparingly. They rationalize their stinginess. But the Bible says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So some give sparingly. I don't want to be in that part. I don't want to be in that group. Secondly, some give grudgingly. Verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Some give grudgingly because they feel like they have to. You know, when the plate's going around, I better put something in there. They'll talk about it. So they fold up a dollar bill and make it look like it, you know, so you can't see what the denomination is. Fold it up real good and put it, or maybe they get two or three of them, fold it up real good and throw it in there, you know. And it's like the grandson come to church with Papa one time and the plate went around, and after church, the grandson, they're walking out of there, you know, and the grandfather had put, you know, a couple dollars in the plate. And they're walking down the road, you know, and the grandpa said, well, what'd you think of church? And he said, oh, it was pretty good. And grandpa said, well, he said, that preacher ain't much. And he said, well, what'd you expect for $2? Some people give out of necessity, don't they? They think they have to give or it looks bad. And I've been pastoring churches for a few years now, and I believe I've had people in the churches I've pastored who hardly ever gave anything. I mean, ever. I don't think they ever gave anything. And I don't see what you give here. I don't know what you give or don't give. I don't know. It's none of my business. But I just had a feeling these people didn't give anything. They never did. But they were the first one to line up when the church was having a dinner, or the first one to when the church was having an outing, or the church was doing this. They were the first ones to take advantage, I think. But they didn't give much. They might have occasionally put a five or a ten in, not to be, you know, so they wouldn't embarrass themselves. I just want to mention today that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth in this community. Okay, and I'm not on to you about giving today. That's not what I'm talking about. But I do need to mention this. It takes money to run a church. Okay, it does. So, don't give grudgingly, because God sees your attitude. God sees your motives. Some give so they'll be recognized in the community or bragged on, you know. Have you ever noticed that?
Well, I gave $6 million to the community.
And they built a building and called it the John Doe Community Building. Well, that's fine, and I'm glad you did. But you have your reward. Wouldn't it have been something if they'd have gave the money anonymously? That's not the right motive, is it, to be recognized? God, let me say this, God doesn't need your money. Did you know that? God doesn't need your money. The Bible says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." In other words, God says, I don't need that. It's a privilege for you to be able to give. It's a blessing for you to be able to give. God does that for you, not for him. If you're going to give grudgingly, just keep it. If you're going to give grudgingly, just keep it. Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms," in other words, when thou give an offering, "when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." In other words, when you give, whether it's to a person, to a church, to a ministry, a neighbor, doesn't matter, don't say nothing about it. And if you can do it anonymously, do it anonymous. Don't even let them know you're the one that done it. Because God will reward you openly. Verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly." Some give sparingly, some give grudgingly. Some give cheerfully. Verse 7, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God," notice this, "for God loveth a cheerful giver." God loveth a cheerful giver. I want to say this because this is easier said than done. Because I don't know if you've noticed this or not. It really doesn't matter if... All right, for instance, there are people who could give $1 million to somebody and never miss it. But do they give it? A lot of times they don't, do they? There are people. I drove past Herbert Hoover High School yesterday. There are wealthy people in this country who could give that school enough money to rebuild, and it would be like me handing you a $10 bill. It would mean that to them. That's how, but they don't. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is, have you ever thought this, people? Well, if I had money, I'd give. If I had that kind of money, I'd give. I don't know if you would or not. You may be just like they are. If God can't trust us with a little bit of money, I doubt he could trust us with a whole lot of money. If we won't give, do you remember that lady that in the Bible where Jesus is standing outside the temple and this little widow come by and she put in her mite? And Jesus said she gave more than all those other guys did because she gave it out of her want or out of her necessity. In other words, she gave till it hurt. All of us, probably here in this room, when we give, it's not because we're just loaded. When we give, it's going to cost us something. I want to be a cheerful giver, folks. I believe God has brought us as a church family into this situation so we could come in contact with some cheerful givers. People who do not know us from Adam have been helping us get back on our feet. They have no motive that I can see other than the fact they just like helping other people. I believe this is a matter of maturity. I believe, do you understand what I'm saying? I believe it's a matter of maturity. I think as you grow in the Christian life, you'll be less self-centered. You'll be less concerned about what you want. And you'll be looking on the needs of others. Just like when a person becomes a parent. And here's another thing. We live in a day where parents are idiots. I read the other day where a guy did something to a kid, broke his arm or something because he interrupted him playing a video game. Or who's the adult? But when you become a parent, you start to realize, hey, this is not all about me. You, and what that is, that means you're growing up, Sarah and Austin, as you start this married life together. It's not all about you, Austin. It's not all about Sarah. It's both of you. Somebody said marriage is 50-50. That's not true. It's 100-100. Give and take, right? You guys that's been married a while? Give and take. That's maturity, isn't it? Maturity. Part of growing up as a Christian is learning to give. Learning to give. Vance Havner said, too many Christians become childish instead of childlike. A cheerful giver in the sight of God has to have the proper motives. A cheerful giver in the sight of God has to be someone who gives for godly reasons. The Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. They cheerfully give to help others. They cheerfully give to help others. They give cheerfully because they know God will supply their needs. Verse 8, look at verse 8. The Apostle Paul said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things. You know what the Apostle Paul's saying there? You can't outgive God. He'll take care of you, won't he? He'll take care of you. If you give, then don't worry about it. God will take care of you. I believe that to be true. I believe that in my experience. I'll be honest with you. Since I've been a Christian, I've given to the church. I've tithed as a minimum. as a minimum. And God has always taken care of my needs. He's always met my needs. He's always supplied everything I've needed. Not only has He given me my necessities, He's also occasionally given me things I just wanted. I think the Lord's trying to teach us. Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." I think some people give because they want to be more like God. They want to be more godlike. They want to be more godly. God, He gives to the just and the unjust, doesn't He? He gives to the deserving and the undeserving, if you'll let me say it that way. It rained today. Not only did it rain on the worst sinner in Clendenin, it rained on the best saint in Clendenin. You follow what I'm saying? You know, one of the things that's just marvelous about the ministries that came to this town during the flood, they gave to everybody. They didn't care if you hated their guts, they gave it to you. They didn't care if you cursed God and hated the church, they gave it to you. They gave to the just and the unjust, didn't they? Some give cheerfully because their heart is in heaven. By that I mean their desires is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, when you give, you're laying up treasures in heaven. You're not just giving here on earth. You're doing something eternal. When you help somebody, you're doing something eternal. So some give sparingly, some give grudgingly, and some give cheerfully. I want to be in that category there. I want to be a cheerful giver. And I want to say last, and most importantly really, is God gave His own Son. God gave His own Son. Look down at verse 15 of the same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Notice what the Bible says. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Underneath my Bible verse, it says priceless. And thanks be unto God for His priceless gift. You've been redeemed. If you're saved here today, you've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Son of God Almighty. For God so loved the world that He gave. God, what a great giver. How could I praise Him enough for that? God pitied us in our lost estate, and in His mercy and in His grace, He gave. He's our example, isn't He? He not only gave, He gave the very best. There was an old commercial, you remember the Hallmark commercial? When you care enough to send the very best. You remember that? I'm showing my age, right? Look, God sent His very best, didn't He? He sent His very best. It's a priceless gift. It's an unspeakable gift. You couldn't put a price on it. You know why? Because in that gift, we get pardon. We get forgiveness. We get peace. We get a peace that only comes from knowing God. And we get eternal life. Eternal life. So, the Bible reminds us of that, doesn't it? That we ought to try to be more like Him when it comes to our giving. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying this, if God if the God of the universes, if the God of creation could give us His only begotten Son, His own Son, then what wouldn't He give us? He'd give us everything we need, wouldn't He? He'll give us whatever we need. He'll give us, that doesn't mean He's going to give us a Cadillac and a big mansion. That's not what that means, because we probably don't need that. But He'll give us what we need. He'll take care of us. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall not with Him also freely give us all things? I want to read one more verse to you, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and we'll quit. I want to be a cheerful giver. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, please. Acts chapter 20. Again, this is one of those things. Hey, look, this is one of those things has to be done by faith. Giving has to be done by faith. Right? Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. Giving has to be done by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, when you give something, you're not looking to get something back. Not in this life. Now you might not. God might bless you in a way that you can say, hey, He blessed me for giving. He might not. You may not see that blessing till you get to heaven. That's faith. Acts 20, verse 35. The Bible says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, the world doesn't believe that. The world doesn't believe that, does it? But Jesus tells us it's more blessed to give than receive. Can I tell you something? You can take that to the bank. That's funny that this quote's in here this morning. It says, is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Patrick Henry. Then I've got a quote underneath of it. It says, most folks today just say, give me. Give me. We're a give me generation, aren't we? Give me. But you know, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I get a call from a contractor over in Ohio, and I talked to him yesterday. I talked to him day before yesterday. He's the fellow that's been helping us a lot. And I tell him I said, I don't know how to thank you so much for what you've done. I said, I have no way of repaying you. I don't know what to do for you. And he always says the same thing. He never says, oh, you're welcome, or it's our privilege, or whatever. He always says, praise the Lord. That's all he says. In other words, he's saying, shut up, preacher. I don't want any of this. I don't want any glory. Don't thank me. I think that's what he's trying to tell me, is he's just thankful he can do it. I got a feeling, I might be wrong about this, but I got a feeling a guy like that, God's going to open up the windows of heaven and just pour out more and more and more on him. I got a feeling God's going to bless him above more than he could ever imagine, don't you? I do. And if he doesn't do it here, I think for sure he's going to do it in heaven. Because I really believe that you can't outgive him. Don't you? I just want to say today, I know this ain't much of a message, and I'm just sharing my heart with you. I had another message lined up, and all day long I kept thinking yesterday while I was down there working, all those men that's helped us, and I kept thinking how thankful we ought to be. And how that I want to be like that. I want to be a giver. I want to be a giver. I want to be a cheerful giver. I don't want to give grudgingly. I don't want to give out of necessity. I don't want to give sparingly. I want to be a cheerful giver. You know, greed. Greed. I'll quit with this one. I'll quit with this one antidote. You ever heard how they, down in South America, they catch these little monkeys and sell them? You ever heard that story? And the way they catch them, it's crazy. They take a little bottle, a glass jug, that the monkey can get his hand in like this. The little monkey's hand, he can get it in there like that. But inside that little jug, they put a piece of fruit or a nut. And when that monkey grabs a hold of that nut, he makes a fist. He's got a hold of that nut. And guess what? He can't get that fist back out of that jar. Now, if he just let go of that nut, he could get his hand back out of there. As soon as that monkey sticks his hand in there and grabs that nut, the men come out from behind the bushes or trees or wherever, and they walk right over to that monkey and they pick that monkey up. Because that monkey will not let go of that nut. There's a lesson there, folks. We grasp for things here in this life and we think, boy, I gotta have that, I gotta have that, I'm not letting go of that. And really, we'd be better off if we just let go of it. Because God will make it up. Come on. God will make it up.